Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Shift Church. Hopefully, we are live on Facebook. It's great to see you all this evening. Hopefully, the stream is starting. So, who have we got with us tonight? Do say hello.
Well, Sarah's here. Hello, everybody. I am still around.
Yep. Hiya, it's Sean here tonight. I think it's been the third week in a row now, so you're probably all getting a bit tired of me now.
Never.
No, not at all. Great to see you both.
Yeah, thanks to Sean for covering for me last week. I had to go on my work's Christmas do on the 1st of December. Can you believe it?
That's keen. That's very keen.
Was it good? Was it fun?
It was really nice, actually. It was sort of, we had a business meeting and an overnight stay and had the Christmas doing it, but of course it's a new company and they're all amazing. It's, it's a charitable organisation I'm working for, and there are only 20 of us, and it was amazing.
That sounds nice, actually.
Yeah, it was in the glorious East Midlands Parkway area by the airport.
Oh wow. Whoa, snazzy, classy.
Convenient for transport, but yeah. So yeah, thanks for covering for me last week, Sean.
No problem.
Well, on this chilly night, we are going to have a chat and a think tonight about preparing the way for Jesus to return, and just think a little bit about waiting for Jesus to return, and just waiting in general, and what that is like. So let's have a little think to start with, and do join in on the stream. Can you think of anything that you've had to prepare for, or maybe that you are preparing for at the moment, maybe that you've had to wait a long time for, or maybe that hasn't happened yet, but you're still waiting, maybe that you don't actually think it will happen, but you're still preparing for it? What do you think, guys? Can you think of anything that's going on in your lives at the moment like that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I've had a lot of waiting to do since the storm of 10, 11, 12 days ago.
Oh, really?
So up until, what day is it? It's Wednesday, isn't it? So up until Monday night, I'd had no hot water for 10 days. So I had to spend 10 days of cold showers. And I gave up on the cold showers as it got colder outside. So I felt like I was about 4 or 5 years old again, you know, that topping up the water in the sink with the kettle and having an all-over wash at the sink. Terrible. And that was 10 long days. And that was a great thing about going away with work. I had a night where I could use the showers. Yay! Yeah. So finally at 5 o'clock on Monday evening, I got hot water. That was a long, long wait. And I think it's what you're waiting for them. It depends what you're waiting for as to how long it seems. Although I suppose in a sense, if it's a bad thing that's happened, like having no hot water, it feels like every hours a week, doesn't it? But also, if you're looking forward to something exciting, that can then make it seem like a long time. So I can't remember if I've already shared this, but I've just booked a holiday for June, my first ever trip abroad on my own. Well, first ever holiday abroad on my own.
Oh, wow. Where to?
Yeah. So I'm going on an 8-day pilgrimage to the Holy Land.
Wow.
And it's a lifelong thing. I've always wanted to go. And I've bitten the bullet, yeah. So say I've traveled to South America on my own, but for work, but to actually go on a holiday as such, although I think this is going to be obviously very different, because it's not just like going off to Ibiza for a fortnight, is it? It's, yeah,
that sounds amazing.
You went to Ibiza, did you? Is that what you're saying, Sarah?
I did in my youth, not for a long time. So yeah, I think I should be like, I'm waiting a long time there. And then when I'm there, I think it will go very, very fast, because the itinerary is just so amazing, including renewing your baptismal vows in the River Jordan, communion in Gethsemane and on Galilee, and
Oh wow, well, that sounds amazing. I
It
mean,
does.
the waiting for that will be really exciting,
Intense.
building up. But yeah, but so, sometimes waiting is really tough as well, isn't it? When you're waiting for something that just kind of isn't happening. What about you, Sean?
I guess lately waiting for the job that I'm in now, which I've been doing now for the last 6 weeks, and I knew I had the job back in August, and I didn't start until November. So I had to wait a long time to start, and it was quite interesting because I was getting to the point where I just wanted to get on with it and start it, but I had to be patient, and now that I'm here, I love the job. It's great, and it was definitely been worth the wait, really, even though it's only been 6 weeks that I'm in it.
Excellent. That's
Yeah.
really good to hear.
And
Yeah.
were you getting nervous as you were waiting, Sean? Or excited? Was it like, oh, I'm just excited to get going, or did you get a bit nervous waiting?
No, I did get a bit nervous because it I went into a job that I hadn't necessarily done, although I've got the background knowledge and understanding. I hadn't specifically done this role before, so it was a little bit scary, and still is a little bit because there's lots of things that I have to do. I'm quite busy. It's a very, very busy role, so I'm discovering new things all the while that I need to do, and I seem to be able to do them. So I'm quite pleased about that, really.
Yeah, well,
Excellent. How about you?
that's really good to hear. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
I was going to say, how about you, Liz?
Well, I was just thinking about, preparing things that you don't necessarily think are going to happen, but you're still preparing. So at the moment, I'm kind of preparing for my birthday party in
Yes, that one.
that one, which is only in about 3 weeks or
3
something,
weeks, isn't it?
New Year's Eve. And I'm preparing, a big party with kind of a Narnia theme and all of this. But there's that whole part of me at this is just not going to happen,
Oh
So it's
dear.
like preparing, but not actually believing it's going to happen, waiting to know if it is going to happen or not, with COVID and with the way I am with health, and it's that kind of waiting. So yeah. What about on the stream, Sean? Is there any waiting on there?
No, I was looking. There isn't anything yet. I'm surprised actually, because normally Ali will comment on something. She did say fantastic service. She's very pleased about you going to the Holy Land. So
Yeah,
there you go.
I'm a lonesome piney.
But yeah.
Oh, I've just seen on the stream. I look back and Charlotte says she's waiting for an operation. It's right at the back at the beginning. I just saw.
Oh yes, yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Wait for a porta cath, which is like a device that you get instead of like a to go into your veins to get your IV antibiotics into your veins, which is so yeah. It'd be so good to get that, won't it, Charlotte? It'd be so
Yeah,
good.
definitely.
Yeah.
And that's a funny one, isn't it? Because it's waiting for something that you know you need, but you might feel just a little bit anxious about, and it's like, I want it to come, but I don't want it to come. And yeah, it's a funny
Totally.
one. Waiting is a very strange thing, isn't
Yeah,
it?
you're sort of waiting on tenterhooks then, aren't you? Yeah. Well, we've got a spoken word video actually to start with now, which is on the theme of waiting. So let's get that up, and do bear with me while I sort out the tech for this.
Be fine.
And I am going to then go on speaker only.
How good are we at waiting? I know for me, it doesn't come naturally. In fact, actually, it's quite the opposite. Preferring to run rather than sit, tending to haste than to submit to the timing of another. But what's the point of waiting? In this instant grab-go culture, why delay? Why abstain? Why the decision to remain content when surely chasing in this rat race is the only way to keep the pace and keep me satisfied? No one likes a queue, online, on phone, in person. It seems we've queued a lot of late, outside shops and schools, but the one I hate is waiting on that phone line when you are called a 99 and all you need is a Big Mac. When you're waiting for a vaccine, the job you need, or some other semblance of peace, in fact, just put me in a time machine and fast-track me beyond this quarantine of COVID-19 and all that's held us back from fun and set us free to chase and run, but we're called to wait. The thing is, I don't know if I can. When it hurts and it aches, when the result of a scan is looming and my head is just booming, when I'm waiting for permission, a decision or a verdict, when I'm waiting on a promise and I'm doubting if I heard it, when I'm holding out for my heart's desire or the thing I've always hoped for, but round every single corner I'm just faced with a shut door. When I've asked and asked again and my asking runs dry and my resolve starts to bend, how do I wait when I've been so disappointed? Is my waiting all in vain? Is there a time that's appointed for him to answer me, for a yes to my plea? But I wait, and I will wait, because I'm called to, and because he did first. Yes, God the Son came to this earth to love, to serve, and to lay down his all. He, the God-man, chose to give up his right, to race ahead and just ace the fight. In all he did, he submitted to the timing and direction of the Father in heaven. And us in turn, yes, this is the call, to surrender, submit, and to lay down our all. For our God in heaven, author of time and space, requires us to let him set the pace. For us to trust, let it be understood, that he is God and that he is good. And our waiting is good. It grows us, shapes us, and moves us beyond the monotonous. So as we surrender to his timing, for the ultimate goal to which our souls are pining, when the Son of God, who died to save, will one day return to this earth again. And when he does, there'll be no more pain, no more sin, and no more shame. You see, this is what the Father is offering. Life eternal, life everlasting, life with him, where we won't be asking what comes next. Because don't you see? Face to face with the King, our lives will be complete. There'll be no more waiting, no more anxious hesitating, because every tear he'll wipe away, and at his name we will proclaim, he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and at his name we'll bow the knee, and at his name we'll truly see that all the waiting of creation, all the groaning, all the moaning will be swallowed up in victory, as Jesus face to face we'll see. So let's wait for heaven and his kingdom come, because that's the best that's yet to come.
Love that. Oh, Liz, you're on mute. You're on mute.
Great. Excellent. So what did you think of that that little
thing? Loved it. Yeah. What's her name? Who is she?
Oh, I've forgotten her name for now, but what I'll do is I'll look it up and put it on the Shift Church page.
Oh, okay. She's awesome.
Yeah, she was great. Yeah. I loved how it built up towards the end, and I loved the way it sort of turned.
It turned around, yeah. I only suddenly realised that she was, yeah. Oh, she's almost straight.
Yeah, it was kind of perspective changing, wasn't it?
Through, yeah.
Like, I'm waiting and it's really hard, and through to, I'm going to see Jesus face to face.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like that.
That's brilliant.
Great. Right, I think we've got some readings. So I think, Sarah, are you first with our Isaiah reading?
No, it's Sean. Right.
It's me.
Isaiah.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. So I'll be reading from Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 11. The title of it is God's Comfort for God's People. Comfort, comfort, my people. Say your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged place a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, "What shall I cry? And all people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, and do not be afraid. Say to the town of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young."
Thank you, Sean. Thank you. I think there's some lovely imagery in that passage. I love the way it talks about how he gently tends us and comforts us and speaks to us tenderly.
I love Isaiah.
There's so many lovely passages in it, especially towards the sort of second part of Isaiah.
Yeah, well, it's Isaiah I've got tattooed on my arm.
Yeah. Which verse have you got?
Isaiah 41:10.
Is that the one about the eagles? Rise up with wings like eagles.
No, it's "Fear not, I'm with you." So it's just reminding me that God's always with me.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely. I love it. Yeah,
that was my baptism present to myself. Renewing my baptism.
Impressed.
What are you sharing, Sarah? What's yours?
So I'm reading from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, right at the very beginning. So Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to 25. And this is Luke writing to Theophilus. So we start off with a bit of an introduction about why he's writing, and then it's about the birth of John the Baptist, foretelling the birth of John the Baptist. So Luke 1, 1 to 25, and I'm reading from the New International Version. "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both well advanced in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.' Zechariah asked the angel, 'How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well on in years.' The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people.
Thank you, Sarah. That was a nice long passage. Thank you.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm kind of with Zechariah when he's like, what? You know what I mean? I have empathy with him when he's sort of like, you know, how could this happen? And
yeah,
you know, sometimes we read that and we forget to sort of get right into it and think, you know, he's there and there's this angel suddenly appearing to him. It's kind of like, whoa, you know, the reality of it hits you, doesn't it, a bit?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. It made me smile a little bit, the, you know, talking about when he sort of came out and he couldn't talk, but I knew he'd seen something because he was there trying to tell them. And I just, I've got this image of like biblical time charades, you know. So, you know, I've got this image of him trying to describe, you know, it was, made me smile.
Yeah.
But it's so relatable.
Yeah, it is very relatable, just very human, I think, that response.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right, well, Tim is going to help us unpick this a little bit, so I'm just going to stop my video and screen share now. Sorry about this technical hitch. I've lost the little screen share button. So I'm just going to find it. Sarah and Sean, talk among yourselves while I'm...
There we go. I'm off mute.
And I'm back.
Lost the screen share button.
Back in the room.
There we go.
Have you, have you found it?
I am.
Yeah, have you found it? Yeah. I was going to see if anybody had commented, but they haven't, so.
Everybody's very quiet tonight.
They are quiet tonight, yeah, definitely.
As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I wonder what you were doing in the summer of 1996. In that summer, I spent 6 weeks on placement in the offices of Thameslink 2000. I was an engineering student, and the idea was to gain some experience of being in the office of a large-scale engineering project. Now, for those of you who have not heard of Thameslink 2000, and I had to remind myself exactly what it was, I'd done that long ago. Here it is, according to Wikipedia, that fount of all knowledge. It does sound about right. The Thameslink program, originally Thameslink 2000, was a £6 billion project in the southeast of England to upgrade and expand the Thameslink rail network to provide new and longer trains between a wider range of stations to the north and to the south of London. The project was originally proposed in 1991, following the successful introduction of the initial Thameslink service in 1988. And after many delays, planning permission was granted in 2006, Funding was approved in October 2007. Work started in 2009 and was completed very precisely on the 18th of September 2020. So I wonder, was anybody who was in that project office in the summer of 1996 still working on the project when it was completed nearly 25 years later? I wonder if there was anybody who saw it all the way through from its first proposal in 1991. That's almost an entire career. Initial proposals, consultations, buying land, clearing buildings, digging tunnels, building bridges, laying tracks, lengthening platforms, constructing station. It all takes time, energy, and resources. Preparing the way can be a long and difficult process. See what I did there? About 700 years before the birth of Jesus, God's messenger, one of the prophets that we're celebrating this morning, Isaiah, he's speaking to the people of God. Now, at other times Isaiah, quite a lot of the book of Isaiah, is warnings. It's warning them about trouble to come if they continue in their evil ways. But here, in this reading that Sheila read for us this morning, God is reassuring them that the troubles will come to an end, that God will not abandon them. There will be a return from the exile that they're going to go to. And beyond that, God's glory will be revealed as God comes among them. God is present with them. And so those seven centuries later, this theme will be picked up by John the Baptist, whose birth is foretold in our reading from Luke's historical account of the good news of Jesus. The message, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. So we've been talking a lot this morning about being in Advent. It's the season in which we are getting ready. It's about thinking about getting ready, being prepared for the return of Jesus as King in all his glory. And the prophets, like Isaiah, foretold his first coming and began preparing the way. John the Baptist went before him to prepare the way for his earthly ministry, calling people to repentance, starting to baptize people, all that good stuff. So if that's what it meant for Isaiah, and that's what it meant for John, what does it mean for us today to prepare the way for Jesus' return? Well, the first thing I'd like to suggest is that in thinking about preparing the way of Jesus' return, is that we need to trust that it's actually going to happen. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you've been told to get ready for something, you didn't actually believe it was going to happen, so you didn't bother. Maybe you, on a very kind of trivial sense, you were planning to go out for the day, and you looked at the weather forecast and it said it was going to rain, and you looked out the window and there was not a cloud in the sky. You thought, ah, they got it wrong. So you didn't take your umbrella, you didn't take a coat, and you got soaking wet. I wonder. Nobody here would ever do anything like that, would they? You see, Isaiah knows what we're like. All people are like grass, he says. All human faithfulness like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But God's word endures forever. So, it might be like taking longer than we want. It might be taking longer than some of the early Christians thought. It might be taking longer than we hope. But I believe that we can trust God's word because it endures forever. We can trust God's promises that Jesus will return. God's word endures. It endured for the 700 years between Isaiah's writing and Jesus' first coming. It endures now and will endure until Jesus returns. So the first step for us to prepare the way for Jesus' return is for us to believe that it's going to happen and to live like we believe it's going to happen. The second step, lift up your voice with a shout, says Isaiah. Tell people about it. It is good news. It was good news when he came the first time, and it is good news that he's going to return. Now, some of you will have seen these magazines. Some of you may even have picked up one of these magazines. Somewhere I've got an invitation card. Ah, there it is. You may have seen these. Yeah? Not? No? They're all asleep. Rightio. These are not for you. Guess who these are for? These are for your friends and your neighbours and your work colleagues and the people you go to school or college with. You can find out about the Christmas services from the notice sheet. If you're here for the first time and you haven't got a notice sheet or on our notice sheet thingy, you can disregard this bit. But in general, most of us, part of the All Saints family, we know when the Christmas services are. We don't need this on our fridge. These are for you to give away as you invite people to come to Christmas services to hear the good news of Jesus' first coming and to help prepare hearts and minds for Jesus' return. Now, we are frustrated that most of our school services aren't able to happen this year. Very often, most years at Christmas, we'd have hundreds of school children, parents coming to this building to celebrate their nativities and Christmas carols and all those kind of things. COVID has put pay to most of that. We have still got some community services, but not as many as we would normally have. So we're having to be imaginative about how we engage with families and schools with the Christmas story this year. So as I think Caroline said last week, we're planning to give out 1,000 copies of A Christmas Story, a Christmas book, to the primary school children in our parish. They can't come to us, so we're going to go to them and give them something. If you're able, would like to contribute financially to the cost of this, please talk to Caroline afterwards. I would point her out to you, but she's gone down to big groups this morning, so if you don't know who Caroline is, talk to me and I'll point you in the right direction. There are different ways of lifting up our voice with a shout. We're trying to equip each other to be able to do that well, to give you tools to do it. How scary is it to say, oh, do you like a magazine? Or to put an invitation through a door? You don't even have to talk to them. You can if you like. You know what? You know what makes these work really well? If you invite someone to come with you and offer to sit with them. Because it's quite scary coming through these doors, can be, if you don't come here often. So, the first step was believe it's going to happen. Second step in preparing the way for Jesus' return is to lift up your voice with a shout. Now, the third step is to care for others tenderly. Now, those of you who are of an observant nature and actually were listening when Sheila was talking will note that this is what Isaiah describes God as doing. What he describes the Lord as doing when he comes, caring tenderly, lifting up in his arms as a shepherd with his lamb. It's not actually an instruction for us to do. But it seems to me that there are enough other scriptures where this attitude, this tender, loving attitude, love your neighbours as yourselves, is commanded, and in which we are called to follow Jesus and live by Jesus' kingdom values now for us to be able to take this as an example to follow, something for us to do. We are to take care of those around us. We are to look out for and to look after them, whether that's through good neighborliness or contributing to the community fridge or volunteering at the hospital or noticing when friends or colleagues are struggling with stress at work. There are so many opportunities for us to prepare the way for the Lord into people's hearts and for his return by just showing the people around us what Jesus is like by the way that we are. None of this preparation is a one-time thing. It takes years, decades, even centuries. It takes persistence in our own lives and through the generations. I'm so grateful for those who have gone before us in Wellington, those who have gone before us here at All Saints over the centuries, preparing the way for Jesus. We're carrying the baton now in our community. It's our turn to prepare the way for Jesus in this place at this time. So as we celebrate Advent, as we look forward to Jesus' return, let's commit ourselves to do that with courage, perseverance, and hope.
Brilliant. So, any reflections on that? And do join in on the live stream there. Just tell us what you thought about that. Any reflections on it? Any thoughts come to mind as you watched him there? Just on that theme of waiting, that theme of preparing the way. So, you guys, any initial thoughts there?
Well, what Tim was saying about the experience of when he was an engineering student, that long wait for that project just reminds me of working with the NHS and the length of time you have to wait for anything to happen there. Goodness gracious. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, about how long things do take. And sometimes you do wonder if you knew at the beginning how long something was going to take, would you ever have gone through, you know, would you ever have started it?
Yeah.
And I very much, you know, this is something that I've related to my faith over certainly most recent years, is that if you're faced with a massive situation and you're going through it bit by bit, and then something really bad happens, go down it, and then you sort of get back up again, and then something else happens and go down it. And sometimes I think, well, if it hadn't have come in little chunks like that, and if God hadn't revealed things to me bit by bit, I don't know whether I could have got through it. It's almost as if you have to go through these sort of stages, because would you have been able to start something and wait for years for something to happen if you've known at the very beginning just how long it was going to take?
And sometimes I find that, you know, God just throws in snippets of hope along the way.
Absolutely.
You know, for me, I know a lot of you know that I suffer with lung disease, and, you know, for all my life really. And so in a way, it sometimes feels like all my life has been a bit of a wait, a bit of a wait to get better. And, you know, so sometimes that hasn't always been great in certain churches and things, you know, sort of being told, I'm going to get healed, it'll be fine. And you know, that can be really tough when that doesn't happen, sort of that wait for that. But then I think what I find, you know, really encouraging in the Bible passages, especially in Isaiah, is the sort of finding hope in the waiting. And I think, you know,
absolutely.
Tim was talking about the exiles and how God gave them hope, but they still had to wait, and some of them had to wait like 70 years, so some of them didn't even see the end of exile, but they still had that hope sort of imbued upon them. And I think that, you know, that's really helped me along the way, and that's what sense of God's presence and peace, you know, that peace in the waiting that he gives us when, you know, when we ask for it. You know, it's Philippians 4, isn't it, that talks about peace beyond understanding. I think that's really powerful. That's that, you know, what I've found in the waiting.
Got a couple of comments on the stream. So one from Ali, I love the part of verse 3 in Isaiah where it says, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It always brings to mind imagery of rolling out a red carpet, which sounds very good. And Danny has said that we need to trust that God prepares us enough into a situation he puts us in, not to be perfect, but a work in progress.
Yeah,
absolutely. Nobody's perfect.
No. Definitely.
Yeah, I also find Zechariah and Elizabeth's story, you know, encouraging in terms of what we said before about being very human, but also from Elizabeth's side, you know, she finds out she's pregnant, she's sort of so thankful and grateful to God, and she says the words, "He has taken away my disgrace." And I think in that society, you know, infertility was looked upon with judgment. It was horrible, and actually, the woman was always blamed for it. You know,
of course.
So for Elizabeth, it was like a massive change in her sort of status, in how she saw herself, in how others saw her. And I think that's just that thankfulness of God coming through for her, even though it took so many years, and just that trusting God to sort of keep his promise.
I think what's really important as well is, and it's difficult for me to say this without thinking of the song, but there's an amazing song by Elevation Worship with Maverick City, and it's called Wait On You, and it's based on this Isaiah passage. I recommend everybody watch it on YouTube. The only thing is, it is 13 minutes long, but I can guarantee it will be the most amazing 13 minutes. Don't watch the lyric video, watch the one with them actually singing. And I never finish watching it with a dry eye at all. It just gets me every time. But, you know, at the end of that.
Yeah.
Sorry?
I think I know the one you mean.
Yeah. Wait on the Lord. And it's all about, you know, the wings on the eagle and the eagles not fainting. It's just amazing. But it's, you know, at the end where it's saying it's not about the waiting, it's about what you do while you're waiting as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's really important. You know, sort of saying, instead of complaining, just praise.
Yeah.
Worship God and praise. Don't complain. Use that time. And that's really important.
Yeah, because, you know, God makes us wait because he wants to see how we're going to react.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, are we just going to go off and get the ump and say, well, you know, I can't be bothered with this. Or are we going to say, no, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep worshiping. I'm going to keep reading the word. I'm going to keep praying because that's what I need to do, you know. And definitely.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the thing is, if everything was easy, we wouldn't need God, would we? And we wouldn't. And the thing is, the harder things get and the longer we have to wait, then when it happens, then we realise we've needed God to do that, you know, and it's all the more wonderful when it happens, and we appreciate that thing.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's important to remember as well and admit that sometimes it does just feel too hard, and it's okay to sort of sit back and say, well, God, I just can't do this waiting is just too hard at the moment. And sometimes you just need others to hold you up.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to go into a time of lament, like, you know, they did in the Psalms and in Lamentations, and say, look, this just really sucks. It's really hard.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Yeah. You know, we don't have to be all joy in the waiting and everything. You know, sometimes it's just that remembering that God is still there, and he's still going to bring, you know, still going to bring that promise into fruition at the end, like he did with Elizabeth. And like, you know, he will, you know, the early church, they must have been kind of, well, we're waiting for Jesus to come back, and it wasn't happening. It must have been quite, I don't understand what's going on. But, you know, they still had that hope, and it's holding on to that hope.
Absolutely.
And that's what I liked about what Tim said as well, that some very practical things to do in the waiting when we're, you know, waiting for Jesus to return, specifically the sort of practical steps that we can do. He talked about how we can be tender to one another, didn't he? And he talked about how we can take those practical steps in our communities. You know, he was talking about the food bank and things like that, and the food share, and just that representing Jesus to others, and, you know, taking out his word to others. What was the words he used? Shouting out the word or something. I can't remember. Something from that Isaiah passage. But
yeah.
I think.
And the thing is, when it comes to to Christ's return. We don't know when it's going to be. So the thing is, we have to wait, but we have to be preparing all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
We have to be preparing. It might be tonight, it might be tomorrow, it might be, you know, we've had this conversation a couple of weeks ago. I hope it's while I'm still around, because I really want to be here when it happens. I want to experience it from the earthly plane. Yeah.
How awesome would that be?
Oh, just amazing. But yeah, we never know when it's going to be, do we? So, and that, I suppose that's what I'm saying about it's, you know, it's what you do while you're waiting.
Yeah.
So waiting is a time for preparation.
Yeah. Yeah. It sort of ties into when we did the All In a couple of weeks ago, the seven virgins, where it was ones that were prepared and were waiting, and the other ones weren't prepared, and they, you know, they didn't wait because they ran out of oil. And it's a really good story, actually. Again, ties in with this, you know, about waiting and being prepared.
Yeah, it's just a really good reminder, isn't it, just to sometimes just sit back and just, it's okay to be waiting. You don't have to be rushing in towards the end result all the time. It's okay, you know, and just finding God in that time. So let's just worship together. We're going to have the song, The Lord's My Shepherd, which just reminds us to go into those places of peace, where he does restore our soul. So I'm going to screen share. I'm going to get it right this time.
You're doing brilliantly, Liz.
It's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. He guides my way in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup, it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delights,
and I will trust in you, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home.
Though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear. Comfort I need to know,
I'll go straight into the prayers now.
Yeah, Sarah's going to lead us in some prayers now.
Okay. So as you prepare to join in prayer this evening, let's just share a moment of quiet reflection. Dear God, silence all voices within our minds but your own. Help us to seek and be able to follow your will. May our prayers be joined with those of our sisters and brothers in the faith, that together we may glorify your name and enjoy your fellowship forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we pray for patience as we wait for our prayers to be answered. Help us, Lord, to be still in your presence and to wait quietly and patiently before you. Many and precious are the promises you've given to your children, and we desire to rest in them by faith and to abide in you, moment by moment, to the praise of your holy name. Amen.
Lord, I want to pray for Charlotte as she waits for this operation to have a port fitted. And Lord, I pray that she will really know you with her in that waiting. And Lord, that it won't be a long wait, but Lord, that there will be a slot come up soon for her. And I just pray for ease of pain in the meantime with the other stuff that she's going through. And just pray that she'll know you with her by the power of your Holy Spirit in her waiting.
Yeah.
Amen. Excellent. And we pray for Ali's housemate, Zena, is having a lower bowel operation tomorrow. We pray, Lord, that you would that it would go well. And we pray for a swift recovery, and that Ali would be able to support her friend in the best way she can, Lord, through this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, we're sorry for those times when we're impatient and untrusting. We thank you, Lord, that you hear all the prayers of your children, and that before we call, you've promised to answer. We also thank you that you're teaching us specifically that even though the answer may be long in coming, that through it you are developing in us a patient trust in you and establishing an even firmer faith in your word. For your word is true, and you are a faithful and merciful God.
Father, I thank you that you are God that wants to bring us joy, even when it's hard, even when times are tough. I thank you that you are a God who keeps his promises, and that we can trust in you, that we can depend on you, and that we can know that you are for us, and we can know that you are with us, that you are holding us in your everlasting arms. So just pray for everyone tonight here on the stream, and whoever's listening to the podcast as well later in the week. I pray for those who are struggling in any way at all, as they prepare for things they've got to wait for. And I pray, Lord, that you just would remind them of that picture of you being there, comforting them, tending them, whispering tender words into their ears. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us all a real sense of anticipation and expectation about your return. Thank you for this time of Advent when we think about you coming back and when we prepare for that. And I pray that you just give us that sense of real excitement, knowing that you will come back, that you will keep your promise, and that you will renew the heavens and the earth. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for, as Sarah said earlier, about your mercy, Lord, that all each of us have received your mercy. Each of us have been given what we don't deserve, because you are a merciful God. And as we approach Christmas time, Lord, and we think about the birth of Jesus, Lord, I pray that we would be waiting in anticipation for that time, and really just getting a sense of Advent and what that actually means, about waiting and about the journey that went on to that point for two people when Jesus came into the world, Lord. May we really just understand what that was all about, Lord, as we journey to that point of Christmas Day, Lord, when we think about Jesus coming into the world, Lord. May we really get a real sense of what Christmas is about and be able to share that with others, Lord, as we heard as well in the passage that we read about, it's about sharing what we have, the hope that we hold inside, Lord, especially at this time, Lord, when people think about families and think about spending time together, Lord. May we be that shining light. May we be the difference that is needed, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lord Jesus, at times we feel so weary and tired as we seek to carry out the duties and tasks of every day. We ask that you help us to step aside from the business of the day and spend time simply waiting upon you. For you promise that those that wait on you will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Too often we try to do things in our own strength, and only when we grow weary does it occur to us to take steps to consciously abide in you and to cast all our cares on you. So, Lord, we give ourselves over to you to teach us how to truly abide in you, moment by moment, and to learn to wait for you as our first option rather than as a last resort. Show us what it truly means to wait on the Lord and to abide in you moment by moment. Help us, Lord, to cast all our burdens on you and to learn to wait on you in every situation. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for your lovely prayers. That's great. So we're just coming to the end of our time tonight. Just to remind you of our Christmas services, if you're local, and that we've got these cards which tell the times of the Christmas services, but also they are on the website if you're not able to get a hold of a card. And we will be live streaming quite a few of those services, so do join in, either in person or online or both. Be great to see you, and I think there's quite a lot of these cards in church if you do want to, if you're local and do want to take some on Sunday. Just remind you that this will be available on a podcast and on YouTube as well, so do encourage people to tune in if they'd like to. And
or watch again. You might have had such an amazing time. You want to listen all over again?
Oh, I'm not sure they want to watch again. Twice as good.
Of course they will.
Maybe not. So any last thoughts from the stream, Sean?
Something's just popped up. There you go. So Sean says, thank you for a lovely evening, everyone. Sweet dreams and God bless. Stay safe.
Thank you, Sean.
Nice.
Great. So
keep warm, everybody, as well.
Yeah, keep warm. keep in with the heating on.
Actually, we've Danny's saying she's sitting in a car. Actually, I think that's what she's saying. I sit in my car whilst Sonny's at football, watching it. So that's got to be number one fan, really. I think definitely.
You've got some warm seats in there.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's we'll hopefully see you next week. I think we're on next week, so hopefully see you then.
Yeah.
Until then, it's bye from me and Sarah. Say bye, Sarah.
Bye, Sarah. Bye, podcast.
Bye, say bye, Sean.
Bye, Sean. See you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Take care, everyone. God bless.